So, I always ask this every week, but how's everyone's week been? Good? Mine's been good, too. This week, we're going to go over the goodness of God. And you can't really talk about the goodness of God without smiling and responding in thankfulness. So hopefully this week, as we study God's goodness, that all you ladies will find some rest and peace in knowing that God is good. And so we're going to talk about what His goodness is in Scripture, and then how God's goodness, mainly in Scripture, is seen through His benevolence towards His children and His people, His goodwill towards us. And we're going to examine how God seeks our good and seeks our well-being, and how He takes care of us, and how we see that through Scripture. And not how He takes care of us physically, our physical and our material needs, but also how He takes care of our spiritual needs, which are obviously so much more important. But how, because God is good, He's for His children. And I thought of Psalm, to open up the Psalm, thought of Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist is inviting us to taste and see in our lives that the Lord is good. And it says, blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And so today, in our studies, I hope that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And I hope that today it even reminds you about times in your life that God has provided for you in ways where you could see His goodness. I was talking to Elaine, I feel like God's been sharing. God is always good, regardless if in my life I think I'm seeing it or not. But definitely in this season, it's kind of been such a blessing to see the Lord have me study this attribute, but then also really feel like I'm experiencing it in my life as well. And so today I'm going to invite you ladies to, you know, I like class discussion. I just want to give you guys the opportunity to share how God's been good to you in your life. So at certain times I might kind of leave the class open to sharing even personal testimonies of God's goodness to you. And I know I have a few that I'm going to share in my life as well. But first, you know, I like to open class in prayer. And so let's pray, and let's just lay this week at God's feet everything that's happened. So I'll start. And if you guys don't like to pray out loud, no worries. We'll just kind of let it go on, and then once it kind of slows down, Elena, if you want to end. And so we'll just give God this class, so if you'll pray with me. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that You are good. And I thank You that because You are good, You're kind, and You're tender-hearted, and You're compassionate, and You're merciful and gracious toward Your children. And I'm thankful that You have provided for each and every one of us in this room, Lord. You've given us food, You've given us clothing, You've given us shelter. You've provided us to be able to be here together in this class and the transportation to get here. And so today, as we study Your goodness, Father, I pray that we would just take time to meditate on what does it mean that You're good? How do we see it through Your word? And as we look at Your goodness, what do You want that to produce in our Christian lives? What should our response be to You? And what should our response be to the world because You're good? So would Your Holy Spirit meet us here? Would it be plain and clear things that we're learning? And would You even stir in some of these ladies' hearts? Would You remind them by Your Holy Spirit times in their life that they saw Your goodness, so that we can share in the testimonies of Your goodness, how we've seen it practically in our lives? And I know each one of these ladies has at least one story. So would we together today taste and see that You are good? May Your goodness causes us to trust you with more fervency. And so we give you this class. And I thank you, God, that you're here with us today, leading us into all truth. In your name I pray. Sorry, I just realized my battery on my computer is dying, so that won't be good because I won't be able to see the PowerPoint. Let me just set this up really fast. Okay, I really, really like what Elena prayed, how she said, God, help us see your goodness. Help us see your goodness even in the trying times, even in the times of trouble. And as I was preparing, I realized, so I'm going to start this, I wasn't going to, but I am. I realized that the past season, I think I told you guys it was a trying one for me. I felt like I was going through a trial. I realized something in the beginning of March. It was actually when I decided to start making Calvary Costa Mesa my home church. God spoke something to my heart that as I was going through, in my mind, this very troubling time or this trying time, that I had forgotten about his goodness. And at first, I didn't even want to admit that I forgot his goodness. I was like, no, I just, you know, I knew about your goodness. I just put it on the back burner, you know, but it wasn't at the forefront of my mind. But as I was praying for class, God was like, no, you forgot about my goodness. There was one day I brought to the devotional. You guys, I don't read it all the time, but it's called Streams in the Desert. So my mom has it. And there was one day, it was actually February 16th. And I read this, and I wanted to read it to you ladies because it spoke. It was the beginning where God, his Holy Spirit, I know, began telling me. It's become more clear as the weeks have progressed, but I want you to start seeing me as a God of blessing. I want you to start seeing my blessedness in your life. Because you've been in a trial for so long, I know that you've lost sight of my goodness. You've lost sight of the blessings that I have given you because you're looking at what I haven't given you. And so I'm going to read this to you, ladies, because it really spoke to my heart. Really spoke to my heart in February. The first verse says, although I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And it's Nahum 1:12. And the author writes, there's a limit to our affliction. God sends it and then removes it. Do you complain saying, when will this end? May we quietly wait and patiently endure the will of the Lord till he comes. Our Father takes away the rod when his purpose in using it is fully accomplished. If the affliction is sent to test us so that our words would glorify God, it will only end once he has caused us to testify to his praise and honor. In fact, we would not want the difficulty to depart until God has removed from us all the honor we can yield to him. Today, things may become, quote-unquote, completely calm. Who knows how soon these raging waves will give way to a sea of glass with seagulls sitting on the gentle swells. After a long ordeal, the threshing tool is on its hook, and the wheat has been gathered into the barn. Before much time has passed, we may be just as happy as we are sorrowful now. It's not difficult for the Lord to turn night into day. He who sends the clouds can just as easily clear the skies. Let us be encouraged. Things are better down the road. Let us sing God's praises in anticipation of things to come. The Lord of the harvest is not always threshing us. His trials are only for a season, and the showers soon pass. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Trials do serve their purpose. Even the fact that we face a trial proves there's something very precious to our Lord in us, or else he would not spend so much time and energy on us. Christ would not test us if he did not see the precious metal of faith mingled with the rocky core of our nature, and it is to refine us into purity and beauty that he forces us through the fiery ordeal. Be patient, O sufferer. The result of the refiner's fire will more than compensate for our trials, once we see the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Just to hear his commendation, well done, to be honored before the holy angels, to be glorified in Christ, so that I may reflect his glory back to him. Ah, that will be more than enough reward for my trials. Just as the weights of a grandfather clock or the stabilizers in a ship are necessary for them to work properly, so are troubles to the soul. The sweetest perfumes are obtained only through tremendous pressure. The fairest flowers grow on the most isolated and snowy peaks. And the most beautiful gems are those that have suffered the longest at the jeweler's wheel. And the most magnificent statues have endured the most blows from the chisel. All of these, however, are subject to God's law. Nothing happens that has not been appointed with consummate care and foresight. And I remember that day reading this, and I remember the Holy Spirit using this in my life and speaking to me. You need to start seeing me as a God of blessing. You've forgotten my goodness. And I remember telling my mom, I said, God kind of spoke to my heart today, and it was really unexpected. I've been going through this season of trial and really discouragement. And all of a sudden, I feel like today he showed me, the clouds are going to begin to disappear, and the sun's going to start shining. But he just wants to remember that. He wants to remind me that he's a God of blessing. And so I go to Costa Mesa the next Sunday, and Pastor Brian Broderson, he opens in Ephesians. And it was the second time I heard the Holy Spirit talk to me. Not audibly, obviously, but through his word, and say again, Vanessa, I want you to see me as a God of blessing. And this is what we studied the first Sunday I actually started attending here. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. In love, he predestined us for the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And it goes on. But Brian, he said something, our God is a God of blessing. And I thought, man, it's been a really long time since I've actually heard that. It's been a really long time since I've even looked upon your goodness, Lord. I know I've tasted and I've seen it in the past, but this last season, I just haven't been clinging to it to get me through. And I love what Paul writes, because that morning God said to me, Vanessa, you might not have all the physical and material blessings that you want in life. But God said to me, but I have given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. I am a good God. And in Ephesians we see that those spiritual blessings include that he chose us, that he predestined us, that we have redemption, that we have forgiveness, that we have all wisdom and insight through him. And so this morning, as we study his goodness, I really believe, especially with Elena praying that this morning, it's so fitting, that even the message this morning is that even in trials and troubles, we need to remember that God is good. Because it's very easy to forget. And as we study his goodness through his word, when we enter those times of troubles, maybe you're not even in one today, but maybe one day you will, because that's life, right? Seasons come. Rainy seasons come. Sunshiny seasons come. But God is good through and through it all. And if we can know in his word that it teaches that he's good, it means that through the trials and troubles, we can cling to his goodness. Like a buoy, you know, you're in a, I don't know, I just imagine being in a storm, caught in the ocean, and feeling like you're drowning, the waves are hitting you, there's no relief. But the buoy that's keeping you afloat is that goodness of God, knowing that it's there. What did David say in Psalm 27:14? He said, or 13, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed that I would have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And all of us already have. Psalm 27:13. I have the ESV, it reads it different. But I think I like how the New King James says it better. I keep saying that. Maybe I should start reading the New King James again. I don't know. Have you guys noticed that? Like every class, I'm like, let's just read from that. Anyways, okay. I love these. Anyways, so let's go. Okay, we'll do that. So we're talking about God's goodness, and we're specifically talking about God's divine goodness. And today, we're going to kind of differentiate between, in class, what we're talking about, what it is not, what it isn't, because actually I put right here, I don't know if you guys see that, God is good in many different ways to all his creatures, because God's goodness, that attribute of his goodness, is something that does run, like we talk about God as one, but it runs through everything. And I even read that God's goodness is like the driving force behind his mercy, behind his love, behind his long suffering, behind his loving kindness. That God's goodness is what is, in a way, if you can think about it, is what motivates him to lavish those other attributes upon us. And I love this. I mean, I'll probably quote, is it 34:6? Anyways, I'll probably, I feel like that reference is wrong. I love this verse. I think I love it so much because, and I've used it in class before, but I love it so much because it's God just declaring who he is to us. I love that God has made it so clear. I've probably said that before, but I keep saying it because that's one of the things that I love about God so much, is he doesn't try to make things complicated for us. He reveals himself to us because he wants us to know him. He doesn't want us to be blind, you know, to who he is. And here, this is, I can't remember if it's highlighted, but the Lord said this about his nature. And he said, the Lord God, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in goodness. And so, as we get started looking at his goodness, I want us to recognize that God himself said that he is abounding in goodness. He didn't just say, I am the good God. He said, I abound. I overflow with goodness. And when we speak in terms of God's divine goodness, or when different theologians speak about it, they differentiate. Remember last week we talked about God's holiness and righteousness? Well, there's an aspect to God's goodness that we would say his moral goodness. But in today's class, we're not talking about that, because God's moral goodness is covered in what we talked about last week, God's righteousness and holiness. A lot of people, that even more differentiates his moral goodness. Because you think about it in this way. We say, when we talk about someone being good, what does your mind normally go to? Behavior, right? Moral behavior. Like, if you're in a class or you're a good girl, you get like a star. If you're like an elementary, you get a little star for your behavior, you know? And so usually we link it to a type of moral goodness, a righteousness, or a holiness. But more specifically, when theologians talk about the divine goodness of God, because the moral goodness his moral goodness is already covered in his attribute of righteousness and holiness, what they really specifically are talking about is they're talking about God's kindness, his benevolence, his goodwill towards men, his tender heart, his quick sympathy. So today, as we talk about God's goodness, I want you to keep in mind we're talking about these things. We're not talking about today his moral goodness, which we covered last class, but we're talking about his kindness. There's a word in the Old Testament, chesed. It's actually spelled like this. Chesed. And sometimes you see it with a C, but it's silent. And that word, when you look at it through Scripture, is talking about God's kindness. But his kindness is also talked about as his grace. And it's also talked about as his compassion. And I'm mentioning this because some of the examples I'm going to give today, you're going to see, oh wait, that says God's compassion. It doesn't say his goodness. Well, God's goodness entails all these things. His kindness, his grace, his compassion. Just like I mentioned before, God's goodness in Scripture is linked to his mercy. I'll write that down. To his mercy. You guys can say this, sorry. To his mercy. To his grace. Loving kindness. And his long suffering, his patience. I think I'm so excited to talk about this today is because we're going to talk about how God is kind towards us. And we need to be reminded that we serve a kind God. We need to be reminded that our God is compassionate, that he's tender-hearted, that he's for us, that he's benevolent, that he gives. Benevolent means to desire to do good to others. God's desire towards us is to do good to us. And like I said, so while we go through trials and troubles, we need to remember that. His desire is ultimately for our good. His word says there's a Psalm, is it 37? It says, no good thing does God withhold from those who love him. That's another verse. No good thing does God withhold from those who love him. So God desires good for us. And I really like this quote by A.W. Tozer. Before we get in, I wanted to say, because God's goodness is a part of his essence, it's a part of his nature, who he is, that means that God's goodness is one, it's self-caused, it means it's infinite, it means it's eternal. And so when we think of God's goodness as being self-caused, it's really important that we understand that there's nothing I can or can't do that would change his goodness. His goodness is fully dependent upon who he is because it is in his nature. And so in thinking of terms of that, there's nothing I can do to merit his goodness or recompense me. A.W. Tozer says, by his nature, God is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. That's part of God's goodness. By his nature, he's inclined to bestow blessedness. Because God is good, he wants to bless you. He wants to give you blessings. And because God is good, he takes pleasure in your happiness. When you're excited about something in your life, he takes pleasure in that. When something new and exciting happens, he takes pleasure. He wants you to take pleasure in life, and he's created things that way. And one of the areas that we see this about God, that he bestows blessings on his children and that he desires our happiness, is that it's through creation, but specifically through our senses. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit today because it's kind of neat just to take time. But, I mean, have you ever thought about this? In terms of God creating the world, what did he say after he created it? It is good. It is good. And part of the reason why God's creation is good is because there's so many things in his creation that we can take pleasure in. If you thought about this, you know, God did not have to create the world with mountains, with sea, with valleys. He could have made it one plane. But because God is good, He created it for our own good pleasure, different places to see. And so thinking about the sights, thought about this, you know, it's the rainbow. This shows it better on my computer. But, you know, even I was thinking about this. One of the senses is sight. We see God's goodness in that. Why? Because think about it. God made our eyeballs and He made the cones, you know, the cones and the rods that help us see different colors and sides. God did not have to make our eyes to see color, but He did. Why? Because He's good. He wanted to bless us with that. Life could be black and white, but He didn't do that. We have Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, indigo, green, and Biv, Roy. Yeah, thank you. I said that too fast. Blue, indigo, and violet. Okay, there you go. I know what I'm talking about. Just kidding. But you know, so the next time you see a rainbow, I know it's silly, but there's God's goodness in that. And I thought about, you know, have any of you ladies traveled? I mean, some of my favorite things, I haven't traveled a lot, but I've been to Uganda and Haiti, and some of my favorite things to do was just to, like, as we were driving, just to look out and see everything that God had created. Because it's so different from America, you know, what I see, but just to see, like, the plains and the oceans. I mean, I've been to Hawaii before, but thinking of you ladies, like, have there been any places that you were just awestruck by what it looked like? I mean, that's God's goodness in His creation. He didn't have to make it to look that beautiful, but He did because in His essence, He is good. So a good God creates good things, right? I thought that was pretty. Have any of you ladies, like, snorkeled or anything? Oh my gosh, I remember, it's just, if you ever have a chance, do it. It's beautiful. The fish and the colors, it's unreal. Like, you can't even take a picture that does justice the beauty and the creation that you see. I have a picture of I haven't been here yet, the Grand Canyon, but I really want to go. But that's another thing for me, I've seen pictures, that's another place that you see God's goodness. Taste. Have you ladies ever thought about this? Like, God, you know, we need food to function, you know, but He didn't have to give us the pleasure of having all these variety of tastes, sweet, sour, bitter, you know, these things. He could have made food just bland, but He didn't. Why? Because He's a good God, and because He desires to bless us, even in these little things, you know. I don't know what some of your favorite foods are. I put fruit up because I thought, oh, that looks healthy. My favorite fruit, I love oranges, and I love the smell of oranges. If I eat one, I'm like, bing, awake. And I love strawberries, you know, but not when they're sour. I put a picture of chocolate, you know, even stuff like that. If you hate chocolate, I'm sorry, because I know there's some people that don't like it, but even stuff like that, you know, that we see God's goodness in our lives. And I thought about touch. That's another sense, you know, I put sand, you can really feel touch there, or something that's soft. Do you guys have any pillow pets? Okay. Well, they're really soft, and, you know, so like that, and like little things, you know, we could praise God for His goodness. Thank you for this soft pillow pet. I don't know, that's silly, but it's there. His goodness is there. And in the sand, and then in smell, I don't know what your favorite flower is, you know. Some people really like flowers and the smell of it, or do you have a favorite fragrance that just brings you so much happiness when you spray it on you? That's God's goodness in your life. And, I thought of this, hearing. When I was little, when I was like a baby, my mom says this story all the time, I was very inquisitive about everything, and I'd be in the house, and I'd hear like an airplane. She could hear an airplane. I'd go, what's that? That's an airplane. Okay. Like literally 1 year old, 2 years old. I don't know if I talk when I was one, but then I'd hear a car. What's that? That's a car. Oh, okay. Like everything I heard, what's that? What's that? What's that? You know? And God even gave us, you know, the gift of hearing. He blessed us with hearing different sounds. I even thought, I love music. I see God's goodness in that, to enjoy that, you know? So even in creation and different things, we see the goodness of God in our lives. And it's worth our time to remember those things. And I was going back, but especially in America. We were just talking about this, like, the food that we get to try here is unreal, especially in California. We can try almost every type of food that probably exists. You know, that's a privilege. Not everyone in the world has tried the varieties of foods that we've been able to try. And even in that, I've learned about God's goodness in my life, that I would be born here and be able to experience all things, how small it is, but that's God's goodness in my life, you know, because He is good. And so this verse in Psalm 33:5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So we just saw it in the senses, right? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And like we said before, God is good in many different ways. God's good in his mercy. Does anyone want to define his mercy? Yeah, he gives us things that we don't deserve, right? His grace, not giving us what we do deserve. Death. I mean, we will die, but eternal death for our sins. His love, his patience, his compassion. And I have an example in the New Testament of one way. Because God is good, he is kind and helpful. Because God is good, he is kind and helpful. And when he sees his children in need, because he is good, he desires to provide for that need. We might have to wait a little bit, but he desires to provide for that need. And for me, one of the most touching things of God's goodness in my life was when I've seen his compassion towards his children. That, to me, has been probably my life one of the most moving things that I've seen about God's goodness, his compassion towards mankind. And so I wanted to share with you ladies one of my favorite stories in the New Testament that has really helped me see and understand the heart of God, just in the even in the little things. So if you're turning with me to Mark 8. And this story is where Jesus feeds the 4,000. So I want to read it to you, and I want you to think about, you know, how you see compassion as a component of God's goodness. I mean, what it speaks to us about the nature of God. And so I'll read it. In verse 1, it says, "In those days, when again a crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. So Jesus, he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away.' And his disciples answered him, 'How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?' And he asked them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately got in the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Because God is good, he is kind and helpful. And I love seeing the compassion of God providing for his children in the word. It's always really moved my heart. And I love what Jesus says. He says, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat." You know, he's like, they're going to go home. Some of them are tired. They're going to be worried from their journey. I don't know if you ladies know, but a lot, and you probably know, actually, when I'm hungry, I can't even, like, think. Like, I told you this. I literally, don't try talking to me, because I can't even process information. I can't even tell you what happened to me that day before I get some more food in my system. Not trying to be rude. Just, like, I just can't function. Like, if I eat early morning at 7, and then by 2:30 I haven't eaten lunch or something for a reason, I've been busy. Just, yeah, I've had a friend, I'll go into her house, and she'll be trying to talk to me. She'll be like, "Can I give you something to eat? Like, you're not here." And I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm just out of it." But if you go to other countries where people have a lack of food, it's really interesting. Some churches, like, they'll give them a meal before they start service because they've traveled a long distance, or maybe they haven't eaten all day. And so in order for them to just, can you imagine being hungry and sitting there and listening to a study? So to help them out, they'll have compassion on them, and they'll give them food to eat so that their brain can function and be alert. Maybe some of you this morning haven't had breakfast and you're having trouble staying alert. No, I'm just kidding, you know, but it's true. But my point is here is that how do we see the goodness of the Lord? We see the goodness of the Lord because in his kind and his tender heart and his compassion, he looks on these people who haven't eaten in 3 days and he provides for them. So because God is good, he sees a need and he's able to provide for it. And I've seen this recently in my friend's life, and I asked him if I could share the story because, you know, testimonies of God's goodness providing for his people. I had two friends who recently had a child in the summer, and it was their first kid, and they just didn't realize how expensive the hospital bills can be. Like, if you don't have good insurance, I think they unfortunately had, like, over $5,000 that they had to pay. You know, and because of where they were, like, bracket-wise, they were unable to, and with their own expenses, she's a stay-at-home mom, he only works, and so they were having a really hard time making that payment. And one day she's just talking to me. I asked her if I could share this, so she said yes. But she, I asked her, you know, how she was doing, and she said, you know, we're just struggling. We're struggling financially, and, you know, I'm just having a hard time trusting in God. She said, you know, one of their struggles in it was that they had been tithing, you know, and she's like, I know people who don't tithe and they're not having this problem. I thought that God said, if I tithe, you know, he's going to provide, you know, he'll, like, the storehouses, you know, that verse. And she's like, we're having a hard time. And she's like, you know, we've been thinking about maybe we should stop tithing because we really need that extra money just to help out to buy, I don't know, formula for the baby or diapers. And I looked at her and I said, I know that's your first response and I totally understand, you know, and your humanity fear. I was like, but I know this is an opportunity. This is a test. You know, this is an opportunity to see the faithfulness, or you could say in terms of our class, say the goodness of God in your life to provide. And so long story short, she's at a woman's Bible study and her husband said, you know, maybe you can get a part-time job just to help out a little bit. Well, she's like, okay. So she's kind of praying about that. Didn't really want to go back to work, but was like, okay. And I mean, this doesn't really happen, but she's in a woman's Bible study. And this lady approaches her and is like, hey, my husband's company is looking to hire. Would you be interested in doing like secretarial customer service? And she's like, okay. And she's like, you know, the pay was pretty good. Well, pretty good for part-time. And she's like, we know that you have a little baby. So you just tell us what hours work for you. You just tell us what hours work for you, you know? And she's like, what? And she's like, you know, I got offered this thing. I'm like, this is God's answer. This is part of God's answer, providing for your prayer. You should take this. You know, people don't call you and ask you to work for them. That's not how it works. And they're like, also, and doesn't usually give them your schedule and they tell you, they don't say, tell us what works best for you. You know, like this is like best case scenario. And so God provided, again, the goodness of God to provide for their needs and just give it to them, you know? And then, because of like tax season, they got a return that they weren't expecting, which is helping them almost pay off all the debt that they had. And she's saying to me, Vanessa, just this past week, we're talking about the goodness of God. She's like, Vanessa, God has done more than I thought or imagined. Like, he's helped us so we're not struggling anymore. Now we have even a little more. And she definitely had to go through the season that was hard, but we were just like praising God for his goodness to provide. There was a need and he met that need. And, remember, we said the major thing you see in Scripture in terms of God's goodness, his kindness, so I want to talk about this morning a little more, is that the major idea with God's goodness in Scripture that you see is that God is concerned about the well-being of his creatures and does things to promote it. My question would be to you, in your life, how have you seen God's goodness? In terms of your physical well-being. Would anyone like to share? How have you seen God's goodness in your life, his concern for your well-being in terms of your physical well-being? I'm sorry? Yeah.
For a while, but then it was fine.
Yeah.
My kids have been healthy. I'm not complaining.
That's awesome. That's That's true. Health, if you're healthy. We're all here pretty healthy. That's God's goodness. I remember there's a season in my life that I realized that I was able to go to school and do these things because I was healthy. Because there's some people that are really sick and chronic illnesses, chronic migraines, chronic back pain, and they aren't able to even do like the everyday things in life because they're in pain. You know, that's part of God's goodness towards you. Just want to take it. That's cool. You say bless you. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, that's for sure part of God's goodness is if you're healthy today, that's something to praise Him for. Simple, but means a lot. Anyone else? Being alive. I mean, I think I mentioned last week, but for me, I keep talking about it, but, you know, I feel like, you know, I mentioned I prayed for a year for a job that had a fixed schedule, and then I got one, and then God opened a new opportunity that even blesses me in a way that I could never thought or imagined, and that's God's goodness in my life, and it's because He is good that He's giving me good gifts. James, this is interesting. Side note. I was thinking about this the other day. Tell me what you ladies think. I'm in the book of James for my own devotions, and this is what it says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do you guys know what one of my favorite attributes of God is? That we just is He doesn't change. It's called His immutability. Technically. But what it means is mutability means He doesn't change. And you know what I thought about the other day? I thought, that's so interesting that James correlates God's immutability with Him giving us good gifts. Really interesting. Like, of all the attributes to talk about when God gives His good gifts, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of all the things to add at the end of who God is and His character, in terms of giving us gifts, giving us perfect gifts, He talks about His immutability. You know, I think even more validifying that God's goodness is not subject upon us, but fully on who He is and His character and nature. So the good gifts that God has given us are given from a God who does not change. That's as far as I've gotten with that. But to me, that's been pretty profound. I can't add on. That's all I know. So that's all I can grasp from that. But I just think it's very, and for what that's worth today in class, I just think that they've been dwelling on that. It's very interesting that I think that He chose to put those two, and knowing that this is inspired by God. That the God who doesn't change gives us good and perfect gifts. Something to think about. Like I said, because God is good, He's concerned with our physical well-being. And we see this in Scripture, and it's substantiated. there are a few passages in Scripture that give evidence to God's goodness, being that he's concerned with our well-being. And one of them is in Acts 14:7, and the context around it's kind of interesting. Paul performs a miracle, and unfortunately, the people surrounding it start to proclaim that he's God. He isn't. But in the midst of this, Paul speaks something about the character of God. And he says, I'm trying to turn there in my Bible, in Acts 14:17, he says, I'm going to sneeze. No, I'm not. And speaking how God has, I'll just read it and we'll explain it. It says, Yet God did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And what Paul's saying is that part of God's witness to himself, or his attesting to who he is the fact that he did good by giving us, by providing for our basic essential needs in life. You need rain from heaven to have fruitful seasons. And he says, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. That how we know, one of the ways that we know that God is real and that he exists is because of the rains, of him satisfying our hearts with food and with gladness. Those things that testify to his character and to his nature. But that's not the only place where God's word teaches us that his goodness means that he is concerned with our physical well-being. Another area in Scripture doesn't say it as clearly, and we talk about this all the time, that gives evidence to God's nature as being good, is in Matthew in chapter 6, where we're taught that God, let's go there, I'll read it. And so today, there's a lot of, we said there's many different aspects to God's goodness, right? But today we're honing in on class. This doesn't by any means show how abounding God is in goodness. But today we're focusing on how he provides for our different needs. Because I believe God wants each of you ladies to know that he is going to provide for your needs, physical, material, and spiritual. And he wants you to see that in Scripture. So in Matthew 6, and one of the things to note is that this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking about the nature of God. And he says in verse 28, I'm going to read 28 through 30, he says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is from the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? But if part of God's goodness is that he'll provide for our physical needs, this section of Scripture Jesus is talking about is attesting even further to the goodness of God. That because our God is good, he doesn't just feed the birds of the air, clothe the lilies, he also even more desires to feed us and to clothe us. So God being good towards you means that he is going to clothe you. He is going to feed you through every season of life. He is the one, because he is good, who provides for the basic necessities of your life. And so in times when we worry about that, we can remind ourselves, no, God is good. And because he is good, he'll take care of me. But even further down, and I put it down here because I think this one makes even more sense, in Matthew 7:11, Jesus, he says, if then you who are evil know how to give again good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And in that little piece of scripture, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who love him? And I think it's interesting that Jesus said, the examples he uses, if the son asks for bread, or if the son asks for fish, what are those? They're food. Right? So what Jesus is saying is us, who are unfortunately inherently evil, if we, you know, us have children, or even I think of like my little cousins, when they ask me for food, I give it to them, right? So me being inherently evil, when I give to them, they say, oh, I'm hungry. Okay, here's some food. Right? Well, God, who is good, who is kind, who's tenderhearted, who's compassionate, who's gracious, who's merciful, because he is good, is inherently good, then we can know that when we ask him for food, that he's going to give it to us. God, will you provide for me? Yes, I will provide for you. I am a good God. And that's going to look different in each one of our lives. I need to note that. That's going to look different and in different seasons. But we all serve the same God. A little psalm. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Another story, me and my friends are just really experiencing the goodness of God. It's kind of fun because we're all kind of seeing the goodness of God and providing for our needs as of late. So I talked about my one friend, but I have another group of friends who just had a child too. And I asked if I could share this story too, because we've just all been seeing it together. It's been a really neat time of fellowship to rejoice together in this. But they too were going through a hard financial season and having a really hard time, to the point where they weren't even able to afford the apartment that they were living out of, and they were going to have to move back into one of the parents' houses. And my friend said that the night that they finally came to that decision that that was going to happen in order for them to be able to pay off some debt and different things, she said it was like such a blow that like the whole night she was just bawling her eyes out, because that is not what she wanted to happen. And she woke up with like this horrible headache, and her husband ended up calling off from work because she was crying so hard. She was just so distraught because that was not the desire of her heart. And for weeks he had been calling this plumbing company. The buildings that they were living in, he was working for, but he really didn't like the job. It wasn't what he wanted. And he was, and her husband was asking God, you know, God, why do you have me here? Like, I know it's one of them providing for my family, but this is just, like, not my forte. I really would like if you'd open a door for another way that I can provide for my family. And he had gotten into contact with this man who owns a plumbing company, and he said to him, you know, we really like your character, and we really want to hire you, but we just don't have the position available. And what was really cool about this plumbing position is that it has the ability to work up. You know, it's kind of a trade he can have, and he can go further in the company. And so he'd been calling for weeks, and the guy was like, you know, just keep calling me, because when a position opens up, I'll be able to provide a job for you. We're just waiting really to be able to financially do it. And so he was faithful to call once, sometimes twice a week. And the guy was like, each time would be like, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry, we just don't have it, but I, like, really appreciate your diligence and your persistence. Keep asking, right? So we're saying keep asking, keep knocking. And so then the blow comes, they're not going to be able to afford their apartment anymore. it wasn't that I couldn't afford it. It was like it'd be really tight. And you know, when you rent an apartment, you have to show you make this so much income so you can make the payment. So that was the kind of issue. And so things, the doors are just being closed, and they just feel like, oh, this season is so hard, so trying, so troubling. And then last week, he gets the call from the plumbing company, and they offered him a position. And once again, the goodness of God, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. And his prayer was answered, you know, and a lot sooner than they thought. And so now God has opened a door, and he showed them his goodness to provide for their basic necessities of life. So if that story can encourage you, but that's just another story I've been seeing. I've just been really seeing lately the goodness of God to provide for our basic necessities. And we need to remember that. And it's so important to see God as a good God in our trying times, even when things aren't going our way or it seems like every single door is shut. Because it's what helps us carry on. It really is. And so we're going to go into next. I'm going to give you guys a little break, but we're going to talk about, because God is good, he's concerned with our spiritual well-being, right? So we just talked about our physical well-being, and we're going to talk about our spiritual well-being. So I'll give you guys like a 15-minute break, and then we'll get back. Class will probably get out a half an hour earlier today. Yay. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, it's going to work out. So yeah, so take a break, and then, okay, take a break, and then 15 minutes, so it's 11, yeah, thank you. And then we'll see how, we'll remind ourselves of how God is good and how he takes care of our spiritual well-being.